Why do business owners keep people around even though they've been frustrated with them for months or years?
Boy, that is a great question that everybody needs to ask it of themselves.
Why is it important to let them go sooner than later?
They're costing you money and they're losing opportunity.
You have to make that decision quick as a business owner because the reality is you're putting yourself at jeopardy.
Less stress, more time, more money. Welcome to the Cashflow Contractor. Short.
Martin, I was talking to someone the other day and they were fed up with their administrator who's part-time, which I'm never really a huge fan of part-time employees, but their part-time administrator wasn't meeting expectations, I would imagine, for the 50th time. I'd heard this before. Why do you think people keep people around whenever they aren't objectively doing their job or meeting expectations? Why do business owners keep people around even though they've been frustrated with them for months or years?
That is a great question that everybody needs to ask it of themselves. And I think the number one reason is they're people, right? It's people. When you're firing somebody, you're telling them they're no good, they don't measure up, you know, and people don't want to do that to people. Yeah, even Warren Buffett, the billionaire, everybody knows Warren Buffett, I don't have to put an identifier up after that. But he said he hated to fire people. He said, I don't remember exactly how he said it, but he said, I would think about it, I'd agonize over it. He said, I'd suck my thumb on it. And then maybe months later, he would actually do it. Let somebody go.
Yeah.
So that's one reason. Second reason, maybe it's really related to the first one, but it's empathy, right? We just don't like that idea of telling people they don't measure up, and we can identify with that. You know, we imagine what they're going through, and we empathize with it. So hurts them, it hurts us. There's doubt. Are they really not doing a good job, or is it? I mean, what I hear all the time is, have I given them a chance? Did I teach them properly? Did I give them all the tools they need? Did I make it clear what I needed from them so that they knew what they were supposed to do? And you know, a really fair-minded person could always say, well, I could have told them more, I could have trained them better, could have given them better tools, but basically they're not showing up half the time. And my antidote to those feelings of empathy and fairness and doubt about whether or not you really need to let them go is to say, you know, it's possible that I haven't given them everything that they need, haven't trained them properly, but have they ever come to me and said, hey, I really don't understand exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. If you could get a little more training or a little bit better tools or whatever it is, then I would know and I could perform better for you. Is there anything I can do to help you help me? And usually the answer is no. People did not come to you with that kind of request.
Right.
So your original question was, why do people not like to fire? And I think it's because they empathize. It's people that they're, you know, they've got families, things like that. And then their own self-doubt about whether or not they've been fair and given them a real chance. I think those are the main reasons.
Yeah, I think most oftentimes I see this with people that know the person personally. Very often is it that you barely know the person and you're unwilling to let them go right away. I mean, it happens, but it's typically because there's some sort of relationship there. And I've even been through that personally. It's tough. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not even that they're a bad employee. They're just not up to the standard that you want. They don't fit the values that you have. They actually do their job, but they only do their job when the rest of the team is bought into the mission and doing more than they're, you know, expected and trying to improve and trying to grow. But this person isn't bought into that really. They're just getting a paycheck.
Yeah. Something that you said just a minute ago prompted me to want to add this too. Other than the owner or people who are directly shareholders, right?
Sure.
Other than the owner or people who are It's actually costing them money out of their own pockets. Mm-hmm. Other than those people, people will not fire people. I mean, you, our guys listening, foremen don't want to fire guys. I mean, you may get the regular guy, you know, foreman who's a rough guy, get out of here, but they don't want to do it. And they get the agony of that self-doubt and I'm harming a person and, hey, they're just trying to make a living and their mother just got over cancer last year and just all these reasons. They have the agony, but they don't have any benefit from firing them, right? It's not going to affect their paycheck, just all negative. And that's one of the things that I hear about a lot and have experienced myself is there's no help in this. If you're letting people go, it's lonely, right?
It's very lonely. I think also it almost feels like you're being subjective a lot of times because you're just going with your gut. You're going with how you feel. And a lot of times you're going at that because you don't have anything objective.
Exactly.
You wait for something massive to happen, like sexual harassment scandal, or they don't show up, period. Like they just go rogue, or they leave themselves, right? I've seen that too many times. They try to wait for them to leave. They kind of don't give them responsibility. They start, you know, creating situations where the person just wants to leave rather than actual let them go. But going towards the objective side, it has to be objective. And you have to start getting objective, but you can't unless you have objective metrics and measurements that you're trying to achieve for that person. Yeah. I mean, make sure that you're clocking in and clocking out is the easiest one. Are they putting the time in? But then also, what are your KPIs for that role? What do you expect out of that role? And how can you measure those KPIs? You're nodding your head a lot. Go ahead, Martin. I'll let you put your
I'm totally agreeing with you. One point I'd like to make is I love it when somebody steals from me. That's happened like 3 times in my career. And I confronted the people and they said, yes, I did. And I said, you're fired. Get your ass out of here. And no equivocation, no doubt. No, it was wonderful. But you get my point.
I get it. It was easy.
It was easy. It was objective. Some things are objective and you have to have that. It should be in the job descriptions and what the expectations are. If you're doing a job, you let people know, hey, we've got planned 41 hours on this job. You know, do we do it or not? That's for remuneration as well. But you can hold people accountable, accident-free, things like that. There are jobs that are hard to quantify. And those are the ones where you have to have a good attitude. Well, what's a good attitude, right?
Yeah.
And you try to find a way to codify that and say a good attitude is, you try to make it as objective as you can.
And that's something we've talked about on previous episodes is core behaviors. I'm going to pull this out while we're talking and we'll come back to it. But if you're just having core values like have a good attitude or, you know, you have to make it real. Like what are the exact behaviors that you want to see? And when you have that, it makes it so much easier to say, hey, were you living by this? Did you do this week? Did you do any of these things this week? You're not a good fit. We've got to let you go.
You can give them corrective action.
You can give them
corrective action. And then let them go. And you've done everything to assuage your guilt. You've been fair. It's as objective as it can be. And
let them go. I mean, I'll even say, we'll go back to that point in a minute when I pull up the core behaviors, but we've talked about partners in a recent episode. I think it's the same thing with an employee. You should know right from the beginning if they're going to be a good fit or not. And deep down, you actually know, because we're talking about people that you would want to do business with. We're talking about people that you would want to spend time with. We're talking about people that fit the existing team you have. And you should be able to look at the team you have and the person and see if they're going to add value if they're not.
I think you can very quickly. I'm going to let people off the hook a little bit. It's not always possible to get it right.
And you're going to get it wrong.
But you should be looking for it.
If I would venture to say that you might be hiring too fast, if you can't get a good gauge, What was your interview process like? Did you do some trial work together before actually doing a full-time hire? Did you actually call the references, and did you go beyond the references right. and call people that worked at the company and say, hey, what was it like with this guy? What would you say about them? You know, were you digging enough? Because in my experience, especially with a lot of contractors, it's almost like hiring a heartbeat. And if they kind of fit the bill, they look the part, okay, come on and we'll bring you on hourly and see how it goes. You know, and I see that way too often rather than, hey, let's actually go through a thorough interview process. Let's even let some of our team members interview them and right. see what the team members' thoughts are. I think if you're going through a robust hiring process, then you should be able to pinpoint some of those things. And if you didn't, that's okay. But you're going to have a much higher success rate right. with your hiring.
No, that's my point. Sometimes they get by you, but everything you talked about greatly improves your odds. And we're yeah. kind of repeating what, I don't remember who first said it, but you hire for skill and you fire for attitude, right? In other right. words, you bring somebody on because they can drive that skid steer or dozer, machine operator, whatever. You wind up firing them because they're causing trouble at work, or they came home mm-hmm. drunk, or came on job drunk, which is part of attitude. And that's almost universally. You can test for skills, harder to test for attitude, but the things you just mentioned are all very much worthwhile doing.
Yeah. So I want to read some of these core behaviors. This is for a client that we have for their salespeople specifically. But I'm just going to read through some of these. And if you have these for your company and you've had your employees sign it, you have them listed throughout the office, you send it out regularly, hey, just a reminder. And then going even further than that, celebrating times when people did this and acknowledging these behaviors is very important. And when they didn't do it, acknowledging it will really reinforce these behaviors. But let's read through some of these. We are available to the team, subcontractors, suppliers, and clients from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. We're available. We are responsive via calls, text messages, and emails. We never delay communication, even if there is bad news. We are active and involved on GroupMe or Slack, whatever it is. We share our wins, ask questions, offer support, and join team conversations daily. Hey, John, you haven't sent a message in the company GroupMe in 3 months. Mm-hmm. Not really following our values, right? We wear company apparel, have our hair fixed, or wear a company hat and make sure that our clothes are clean each workday. We close at least $30,000 a month in sales each month. We are always striving to exceed our own personal sales goals. We are avid prospectors who are eager to help. We are always ready to knock doors, make cold calls, and ask for referrals. That's a huge one
right.
that people get complacent with because it's your fear of rejection. You don't want to
do it. They don't want to do it. Right.
Yeah. We are continually adding high-value contacts to our CRM. We are committed to be the first call for all of insurance agents, realtors, inspectors before and after a sale or whatever it is, right? So these are just some. I think you get the point. But the core behaviors really allow you to be objective with things that are sometimes subjective.
Right.
So
how did you come up with those with them?
Yeah, we worked on, hey.
You just sat around and talked about, what do I want to really see from this person? Just talk to me about it.
Yeah, describe your ideal salesperson. Who's been your best person on the team? What was it like when you used to be a salesperson before you owned the company? What were some of the things that you tried to do? What are things that would really stretch some of your employees? We just went through that and we talked about different things. And, obviously I added a lot of input there because I've had experience with my own employees and with other companies and their teams. And what I've seen that's great and that I want to embody. But yeah, we just went through it together. It was about a 2-hour exercise, went back, worked on getting the wording right, and then they approved it. So, that's a really great way of understanding, man, does this person that we have on our team fit these things? Because if they don't, we need to let them go. Why is it important to let them go sooner than later? Why is it important not to wait?
Well, first of all, they're costing you money and they're losing opportunity. And on a beneficial side, if you keep them in the wrong position, you're holding them back from finding their place in life too, right? Yeah. But you also have a hole that is already full that if it were vacant, you could bring the right person in, right? Mm-hmm. So the obvious reasons of a contributor, an A player, somebody who is helping the company grow is much better to have than somebody who's occupying a desk, right?
Yeah.
But I wanted to throw this out there too, is I know a number of business brokers and also businesses that have acquired businesses in the last 2 years. And they all say, I don't know how to phrase this. The biggest opportunity to turn a company around is to go in and cut out the dead weight. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's how hedge funds get the reputation as being hatchet men, right?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, the owner who sold it to them, not true of every owner, a lot of people looking out for their people, but they know that needs to happen. These people need to go. They're not earning their way. They're not carrying their share of the load, but I don't want to do it. So I'm going to sell my company and let those guys do it. And from the broker side, Larry Hughes, whom we had on early episodes, he just said that every company he's ever gone to has people out there who are legacies, you know, been with us since the beginning, brother-in-law's nephew, you know, something like that, who are just wearing the company down. And the current owners are reluctant or just refuse to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And so your company is worth a lot more if those decisions have been made, right? You're not trying to sell somebody a bunch of baggage or a difficult problem because the new owner coming in isn't necessarily going to relish. They'll do it, but they're not going to relish letting people go.
Yeah. Well, and I think some of that's even, it's not necessarily that the employees were bad employees. It wasn't the right timing and the right fit for the company either. I think one of the hardest things for a small business owner is really that layoff portion. I've seen people, and even myself in certain months, I've carried our team when really we couldn't afford it. And at the end of the day, for most contractors, labor cost is going to be the majority of your expenses. Not all, but a big portion.
Well, it may not cost as much as the materials, but it is the majority of the expenses that you have the opportunity to influence.
Right. It's a majority of it's where your
loss is. Yeah, your profit or loss pretty much tied up in how well your labor does. Everything else matters, but labor is the one where you get it right and it goes well, get it wrong and it blows everything up.
Yeah. And you know, there's, especially with where we're at today, you know, we're 4 years almost removed from when COVID started. We're about even if you talk about ERTC money, we're only like a year or so really away from when the last of the stimulus money was sent out. And there's a lot of contractors out there that got a lot of money from the government and they use that money to hire new employees, to add to their overhead, to add a new truck and a new crew and all this stuff. And it was that money that was really funding that. It wasn't the actual predictable revenue month to month growing that was funding the growth of your growing team. And so with that, now there's people and there have been people that are realizing, man, we've got some extra weight that we actually can't carry. And that's something that you have to make that decision quick as a business owner, because the reality is you're putting yourself at jeopardy. You're the one that has the risk of your credit, of, you know, all the different financial burdens of the company are placed on you as the business owner, not on the employees. And so if you don't trim the fat, and maybe it's not the fat, maybe you're having to cut some muscle, but if you don't take care of that and get yourself in the right shape as a business, you're only setting yourself and your family up for failure. And so that's a big one that I think a lot of small businesses are reluctant to, that they feel bad about, is that it's a great person. It's okay to let go of a great person if it means a healthy business, in my opinion. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I have a client who talks about, he deals with complex subjects and people come to him for advice. And he says, it's really funny because they have a problem and they say, I am willing to do everything except blank. Well, guess where the problem was? It's in the blank.
It's in the blank.
That's what you have to do. And that really is true for employees. I'll do anything except I don't want to fire anybody. And if you have to do it, you look at extremely successful business owners, or I do anyway, really, really successful business owners, people who are out there making it, but not just blowing it up, and people who fail. And I go, what's the difference? And a lot of times, we had an episode on this, you know, but one of the things is about being decisive. And it can boil down very simply to something like that. Those three people are not getting it done. Let them go.
Yeah.
That's what the successful person does. The other one goes, I'm going to keep them. Oh, you know, I'll let them go someday. And the bad one never lets them go and goes out of business. And then when you look at the evolution of those three business owners, you go, letting go of three people was a 1 minute decision one day out of the last 5 years or 2 years. Mm-hmm. But that's the one.
Yeah.
Right. It didn't make the news. That, you know, there was no, it didn't suddenly vault your profit and loss statement into the stratosphere, you know, but it was a decision around people made quickly. And like you said, get the Band-Aid off. Three people are working elsewhere. You're working with three people down. Like Elon Musk, when he bought Twitter, he fired 80% of the people.
It's crazy.
And they said, what are you going to do? He goes, well, they weren't doing anything. I've got a client in another state who we finally got rid of two people and their production actually went up.
Yeah. Nothing will kill a great team more than a bad player. Right. And I mean, I've coached soccer for years and I can tell you right from the beginning that at the beginning of the season, sometimes I'm putting someone on the junior varsity team rather on the varsity team than the varsity purely because I know they would kill the morale. And I've had to sit people out like from multiple games, like basically half the season, just because of attitude. And they were arguably top five player on the team talent wise. But morale is a real thing. And character matters, and the values of your team really matter. And when the decisions you make to promote someone, to let someone go, to hire someone, are seen by everybody around you. And when they see that this person's not acting how they should and they're not fitting the team, but you decide to keep them on, that speaks more than any words you could ever say. So if you tolerate that bad player, it's going to change the dynamics of the team. And yeah, that's why your production does take a hit. Not, you had more people to actually do the work, but the morale wasn't the same. The culture wasn't the same. As soon as you let go of that bad player, wow, our production's actually better because we're not trying to act like these people that don't belong. So anyways, make those decisions quick as you can. One thing that you said in your article that I really liked is great teams are gathered, not made. Yeah. And that's why hiring should be done slow. We talked to Jonathan Porter Wistman in one of our episodes and talked about just treating every hire like a $500,000 decision, even if it's for a, you know, part-time role or a, you know, low wage role, treat it like a $500,000 decision. I mean, if you're continually having turnover, let's say your turnover is 25%. Well, in 4 years, you have an entirely new company because no one's been there longer than 4 years because you keep turning over, you know?
Right.
So there's actually a competitive advantage to having a great culture that doesn't have a high turnover rate because you just have more experience together. It's like everyone else is letting go of people every 2 years. And it's a new company because of that. Whereas you can keep running the same system, same processes because you have the same company in place. So hiring is so critical here, but you've got to make sure you're cutting out those people as well that don't belong.
That's it. And The longer you wait, the more you suffer.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we will we'll link to your article when you know they need to go, which we also did CFC 70, believe it or not, Martin, 130 wow. episodes roughly ago.
Wow.
So we did an episode on this. I think it was a little bit different, but we said a couple of the same points. Yeah. So yeah, listeners, thanks for checking in.
It's an issue. It's an issue that I have a lot of people talking about right now.
Yes. Yeah. And you will, they'll always be talking about
it. Forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, thanks listeners for listening in. You've got us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and all the different social accounts, but please, please subscribe to our newsletter. We'd love to have you there and be in your inbox every week with a new episode. Promise not to spam you. If you want to get in contact with Martin or myself, we're in the show notes. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and we hope that you're having less stress, more time, and more money. See you, Martin.
See you, Cleo.
Thanks for listening to The Cashflow Contractor. Check out our website in the show notes or visit thecashflowcontractor.com.